Blog Talk Radio. verse 9, we are the children of the world. Peace and love. Get your coffee, get your tea. I'm sitting back at my coffee right now, sitting here meditating. And we're not religious, we are spiritual. You are spiritual beings having a reaction in a physical world. So I want you to get ready. It's nothing like this. What went on in 2020, you've never seen it in your life. But what I'm telling you, you are spiritual. You are spiritual having a physical relationship. And you got to deal with this and the negativity. Good morning. I come to motivate you this morning. I come to tell you all is well. I come to tell you this morning, step up and know you are the children of the world. Step up and know you are the God woman. You are the God man. Let me change it. You are the goddess of the universe. I am the God of the universe. And I relate it to the God. Oh, I know y'all ain't heard this before. Let me tell you. When you sit in the anointed, when you sit in the power of the anointed, you ain't got to be in no church building because it's already in you, man. Woman is in you. The Spirit of God is right in you right now. All is well. I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm getting ready for a breakthrough. I told you this morning, you're in a physical world having a spiritual relationship with God Almighty. And it supersedes man and woman. When you sit with the Godhead, when you sit with the God of the wind, the God of the water, the God of the universe, and the God with all the knowledge, you become one in the presence of the Word of God. Get ready for a breakthrough this morning. I want this Sunday morning, think about the Super Bowl and all of this in the war. But God, 90 degrees in California, is freezing in Minnesota and Midwest. It can flip overnight. In 5 minutes, the temperature will go up. 10 minutes, go down. You can't control that. I can't control that. The God of the universe, our ancestors, our universe. You know, I was telling a young lady that called me earlier last night was saying, Bishop, I've been having problems. I've been sick. I said, well, look on his side. She begins to pray right there. And as she's praying, she said, you know, I feel better. I said, you have to bring out the energy of your spiritual being. Now, you get it through revelation knowledge or you get it through book knowledge. Book knowledge is what you read. Revelation knowledge is how God gives it to you. I'm getting revelation knowledge now that somebody's been healed in their throat, somebody that needs being healed. Somebody was depressed this morning, but I'm getting revelation that they're going to be all right. I got revelation knowledge last night about some people. I looked and said, oh, look what this is. Sometimes you have to back away, and you have to let God work. And when the Spirit of God works, doors open up. I want you to get ready this morning. Let me take a sip of this coffee. I want you to get ready. Some of you might have tea, you might need to drink water. All your conditions is not, let me say it again, all your conditions is not what you think. You're in a physical world having a spirit relationship. If you don't understand, you're going to have ups and downs. If you got demons running around. You know, I was explaining to a man how demons exist, where they come from. Things just pop up. They come because of the sign of the wall up in heaven. That's where the demons come from. And I'm explaining that before we get started with the show. We'll get ready with the series because I want you to be motivated, stimulated. I want you to lift up your Bible. That's the book. But now I want you to lift up the book in you. It's a book in you. It's anointing of the covenant in you. And when you let that spirit come out, it's going to bring the truth out. It's going to bring love out and joy. Somebody says, I'm so sad. You sad because you want to be sad. I'm sick because you want to be sick. Name it and claim it. I claim wellness, claim happiness. I claim riches, the trillion flow. You ain't claiming nothing. Ain't no doubt. Well, a so-and-so got the richest man in the world was Master Musa. The richest man in the world. Guess what? He was black. And they don't say nothing in your history book about this black man, the richest man in the world. They don't tell you that. They keep feeding you negativity. They keep feeding you evil. They change even the color of the people in the book. You look for a European and his a black man. Oh, I'm going to leave y'all alone because, you know, they don't tell you this. One lady told me, I don't care what color Jesus, I do care. Now, ain't nobody over in the Middle East a blonde and light-skinned. Over in the Middle East, they dark-skinned. Now, you might not find that in your Bible. You have to look in the spirit realm. And the spirit realm, they'll walk with you and talk with you. One lady said she told her pastor, I had a black energy come with wings and they stood by my bed. And he said, oh, that's the devil. I said, well, it ain't no black angels? Huh? Y'all better hear me. Dr. King says it all the time, this Black History Month. When you go into the Bible, when you go into the Quran or the Bible of Jesus, it talks about people of color. But we've been turned away from that. We're turned to fight ourselves. Anything black we don't want. You take a little bitty baby, the dolls of them. The baby that don't know nothing will get the doll her color. Okay? Well, when you don't talk to the baby, she's going to get the wrong doll. So that just going to show you that's how our minds have been ticking. But I want to change that this morning to the power of the Lord, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Almighty God. God bless you this morning. I want you to get ready for God to wake you up. I want you to get ready for God to touch you, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Harry Tubman, that was killed in Sojourner Truth, Harry Tubman, all of them, she had to take some people and whoop us out of here with pistols to get them free. Huh? Some of you don't want to be free. Now here you're going to the Super Bowl, and nobody said, you got all them rappers on the Super Bowl. Ain't none of them going to say, we don't have any black coaches. They ain't going to say that. They're going to entertain you and woo you, but they ain't going to tell you the fact. After the Super Bowl over, how many blacks going to get $1 million? How many blacks going to be in business? They going to have some money. But the black coaches, that they don't have but one black coach in the whole thing in the Super Bowl, and we're going to pack out there. You know what I'm saying? So it's time for us to wake up. We were lied to in 2020. Wasn't no virus. That's what Trump said. And Trump told me, and Trump's still lying, and people believe it. A lady called me and told me, yeah, the Trump was stolen. I said, Trump lying, and you lying too. Your father lied, and I ain't holding on to no lie. If mama lied, daddy lied, brother, I ain't holding on to it. Tell the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, and once you get the truth, you're free. Black man, be free. Black woman, be free. Women of the world, men of the world, be free. Don't let no man hold you down. Don't let no condition hold you down. Don't be abused. Don't be abused and lied to. You don't have to be abused because you are a goddess. You got to walk in that anointing. Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness. See, when you walk right, right things happen. When you stand up to somebody and tell them the truth, they're going to flee. Lord, this morning I want you to be blessed. Mary Hawkins, hope you're on the line. Mary Hawkins will be reading 23rd number Psalm. I see her on the line right now, and we're gonna have we're gonna read the prayer list. We got a prayer list. Some of you on it, some of you ain't. Mary, is you on? I've been praying for Mary. Mary, you on? Thank you, kind spirit. We'll read 23rd number Psalm. And you know it's cold here, and a girl called me from Los Angeles, the vision, we're going to have 90 degrees. Good God Almighty. 90 degrees, I mean, it's going to be cold. Cold out there, warm out here. Okay, we're having a scripture read. And Pearl, I'm glad to see you on line. And Pearl going to testify. She got to tell my Pearl, you on?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so give your testimony because Pearl, I talked to you. Your mother came to me and said, Bishop, tell my daughter to wear pearls around her neck. You go to the jewelry store. Don't get nothing cheap. Get you some pearls and wear around you because that's a blessing for you. and you have already mentored girls. You have mentored. You've been the mentor of your family in every walk of life. Your mother's spirit been around you when she told you on her deathbed, take care of the kids. And you did just that. You were obedient. And for your obedience, it's a law, it's a long lifespan for you. That's revelation knowledge to you. And your finance been the increase. It's, I want to say, overflow. So whatever you don't hold back, you want to get some new shoes, get new shoes. You want to get a new dress. If you want to go out of town, get on the plane and go. If you want to go somewhere, go, because you have earned what the people gave you. Now we're going to have Sister Pearl to give her testimony. It's going to touch somebody. It's going to motivate somebody. It's going to make you wake up and understand God is still in the healing and blessing. Okay, Sister Pearl, go ahead on.
Oh, yes. Good morning. And I would like to say that the Lord truly have been blessing me all down through you. And my husband, when I lost him on January the 22nd, it didn't even hurt me because I was glad to see him go, because he was suffering. And I didn't want to try to hold on to him. And I've been doing good. And my family is doing good. And I thank God every day for what he has brought me through. I have been through a lot, but the Lord still is in the blessing business. And I just want to thank God, thank him. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
I want to thank Mother Pearl for that. Testimony.
And I would like to say, I have been with him for 57 years. We never been separated, nothing but the time when I went down there to see my mother until she passed. And Lord, I thank him. I thank him.
Thank you for that. That's Mother Pearl. And Mother Pearl said, husband had an argument. And they wasn't separated, and wasn't no abuse on her side. See, sometimes they think men's abuse you, but women's abuse you. I had one woman slapped her husband right here with a pistol. He come to me crying. I had to go with them together. I said, baby, don't do that. That's your husband. She said, bitch, I'll kill him now. I said, you got that spirit. I prayed for both of them. They changed. What I'm telling you this morning, God put you together. And sometimes God don't want you to be with nobody right now because he's still purging you. He's still getting you ready for the mission. Oh, I need me a good woman. I need me a good man. Maybe God ain't ready for you to have no good woman, no good man. He wants you to settle alone because he want to teach you something in the spirit. I wish I had somebody say amen. He want to tell you something that he want to help you with. And the only way he can do it, he got to set you aside and begin to teach you where you might be able to deal with what's going on day to day, what's happening in your life day to day. I want you to get ready. You know, I was telling the young lady asked me, bitch, I got to go to the hospital. I was a girl, let me tell you something. Keep going to the hospital. You ain't trusting God. Some things, you got to trust God for healing. You got to trust God for your deliverance. The young lady had cancer. The doctor said they got to go in and move her. I said, no, they ain't got to move your breast. You do this and do this and trust God. For 17 days, she opened that scripture and laid it on her breast. When she got back to the hospital, it was a little bitty knot. They got it out. They didn't have to cut her breast off. But she had to walk by faith. It's impossible to believe God without faith. You got to walk in faith. You got to have faith that you're going to have a debt-free house. You got to have faith that you're going to get that new job. You got to have faith that you're going to be happy. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is a certain thing hoped for. The evidence again. I want you to have some faith this morning. I want you to have some faith that all is well. You know, I was during the week, I played Dr. Martin Luther King's letter to the USA. It was so really, it scared me. It seemed like he was talking to America right now. With all going on, he was talking about what's happening with your children. Your children, well, mama getting old, I'm putting old folks on. Daddy getting old in a year and then I'm putting old folks on. And all you don't work for the house, they're going to take it and sell it. Your little pension, they're going to take it and run away with it. That's how these kids of today, they don't want to nurture. They want what they can get and go ahead on. And some of them ain't got no education because they go steal a car, and a car is nothing but iron and steel. They're going to stop on the expressway. So God have touched some of you to be teachers to help people come to the next level. And God is trying to get your attention. One lady said, well, I don't know if this is my husband or not. I told her later, I said, well, you married him, didn't you? But he ain't never here. And I don't know where he at. I said, well, if he your mate, if that's your soulmate, he going to be under you. If it ain't your soulmate, it's somebody else's soulmate. I'm going to leave that alone. Y'all hear what I'm saying. And sometimes you got to wait because so much of witchcraft and magic going on, so much of jealousy and hate right there in your body, on the job, at home. Family members don't get along because they're jealous of each other because that spirit has never been cleansed. That spirit this morning has never been moved. We're going to get ready and read the prayer list. But I really want the prayer list to be read. And Regina reading the prayer list. And the prayer list is very powerful. And your name on that prayer list. And some people called me, didn't get on the prayer list. But you'll be on next Sunday. Because we read the prayer list every Sunday morning. And after they read it, I'm going to pray. You know, most of them I delegate to my prayer, but it's so powerful. I need to pray and scream out that this witchcraft and this evil leave you alone. Now, one scripture I want you to read this morning, Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And the reason I want you to read it, I want to explain it to you. Michael and his angels fought the devil. They kicked the devil out of heaven. Where did he go, Bishop? He went down to the earth realm. And when the angels got to the earth realm, they started having sex with the women. And the offspring of having sex with the women was giants. Okay? And the giants started having sex with animals and everything else and women. And then the giants, they died out. And then the sex that giants had with the women, the women had evil children. Oh, I'm talking now. So the evil is with us. The giants, they died out. But now the evil, the pockets of evil, is in all races. Ain't no just black, it's all races. So the evil pocket is in different people. That's why the angels still here trying to kill us. Some people they're going to die, graveyard die, because they are evil. They're evil from the root, they're evil from the birth. Angels that had sex with the giants, their children are evil. And what you got to do, you got to pray and get yourself cleansed, the anointing, break the yoke of the evil of the curse. And this, I'm talking generations, talk to generation that's going on. And the angels that's coming back and forth. You wonder, how come it's so bad in the world? Because of evil. I don't care what denomination, okay, you Apple, Kenya, wherever you at, it's evil. And that evil come out, of Europe. That's where it was at, down in them caves. They found bones of giants in the caves. And they found evil people that's walking around talking to themselves, talking, you know. So this thing is deep. That means I told you, you're a spiritual person. But you're in a physical relationship, and you got to let the spirit rise up and work with you. I want you to get ready. It's prayer time. This time I'm praying that all the brothers in jail, this is my prayer, that they come out, and all the political persons in California, Oakland, so many young brothers, wives and called me about their brother been in jail for 20, 30 years. I'm praying for Larry Hoover, Jeff Ford. For them two in Chicago, I know. I know they tried to kill him. They couldn't kill him. They jailed him. They killed Fred Hampton, and they tried to kill Pepolo, but Pepolo, they didn't kill him. So what I'm saying is a lot of evil running around that you don't even know about. They don't even put it in history books. Talk about black history. You know, we know about Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King. What about those in Egypt? The goddess of Egypt. There's a new tomb in Egypt they're going to find before this century is over with. Exodus 14:14, let God fight your battle. I'm praying that every day, and some people that's doing evil, they're going to die. Let me say it again. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The gift of God, eternal life. You better try to repent and go to God this morning. I don't care. Whatever you need, God got what you need. God got what you want. But you got to make up your mind that you're going to clean body, mind, soul, and spirit up. And when you have not, because you ask not, tell me what you ask God for. You know, if you got a need this morning, plant a seed. You know, I was telling a lady last night, I was telling her, she was talking, I had to plant a seed. She said, I went to the post office and planted a seed. You're not going to pull out. Just go to YouTube and go to Blog Talk and go to PayPal and do it. She said, well, I did that, but I'm going to do this too. Okay. So she did that, and she got a revelation knowledge. Her brother came in from Texas and brought her some money that was owed to her 5 years ago when he was in trouble. And she said she was just shocked. Sometimes you got to understand, when you get spiritual, things happen for you. We're going to get ready for the prayer list to be read. So get ready to listen to the prayer list to be read. God bless you this morning, young lady.
Good morning, Bishop. Uh-huh. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I want to tell you this before you read your, you've been meditating over that prayer list. We got it together. I want to tell you, God told me, that this is prophecy. Most of the time I don't prophesy for a second. But I prophesy God going to open up some new doors for you. Happy birthday to your mother in the spirit realm.
That's right. Happy birthday. Well, it was her birthday yesterday.
Well, but I'm telling you, she's in the spirit realm. And she, you know, I asked for sweet potato pie. You know, but you cooked, what did you cook?
Some candied sweet potatoes.
Well, that's sweet. That's a sweet potato. She loves sweet potatoes.
Right.
See, I'm going to tell you this here. So, see, when you got people in the spirit realm, and most churches teach against talking to people that's going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I talk to my ancestors all the time. Okay. And when I talk to them, I get an answer. You got to talk to them. And I was telling the young lady came to her and said, look, that everything going to be all right. This young lady riding a horse. And she's overlooking on the mountain, looking over water. That means that she's over a tribe. And I seen her on that white horse. But I want to tell you, Anne is very pleased with you. And one thing she said to whisper in my ear, is to tell the family to get together, all of them. I don't care if them that ain't functioning right. And your brother was there, and she just told him, be quiet, I'm running this. She took it off. And I don't know who the lady was sitting at the table. She was an older lady, like she's about 90, but she had a glow. She's in the goddess realm. That means that you got somebody up in the spirit realm working for you. And them that can listen to her, your lifestyle, and whatever you need, all that the devil stole, God going to restore to everybody listening. And you know, you might stole your mind, stole your... All, I'm going to decree that all that the devil stole, God going to restore. And some of you been messed up. Messed up with that homosexual stuff. Messed up with a beating. Messed up with scared. Messed up with that you look like the devil. You tucked everything. Look like you're going to die. And look like you got to tell the truth and repent. Not to me. You repent to God. You get somewhere in a room and just cry out. See, when David messed up, David fell on the floor, laid on the floor and cried out to the answer came to him. you and you. And whatever you need, God got what you want. Okay, young lady. Now, you can give a testimony and then go on and read your scripture. Read the prayer list.
Okay, I'm going to start with the prayer list. Good morning, everyone. This is the prayer list for February 13th, 2022. Tanya Scott, Dr. Gibson, Dr. Rouse, Norman Ross, Mary Cook, Chelsea Parker, Christine Parker, Dr. Christian, the Nixon family, the Jones family, Kim Vision, Dolores Anderson, Bishop Turner, Gary Anderson, Nancy Pyle, Betty Harris, Lisa Conway, Joe Williams, Frank Cook, Lily Chandler, David McNeil, the Rouse family, the James family, Rossi Cook and family, Melvin Parker, Darnett, Alicia and family, Sister Bailey, Betty Dukes, Pastor Etta, Carrie Nunn, all of my family, Mary Hawkins, Mary Ripley, Mary Scott, Mary Francis, Rhodes Edwards, Michael Edwards, Pearl Williams, Jackie Harris, last but certainly not least, all of the ancestors in the spirit realm.
Thank you for that. That's the prayer list. And as
yes.
we pray for the prayer list, we want power. I want to let you know, I know, did we get Lisa Conway on there? I think she was on there. I think you can see it.
Yes, it is. She is.
Okay. Thank you. I want you to get ready for God to touch right now. I'm talking about whatever wrong, God can move. Whatever messing with you or trying to mess you up from your business, from your spiritual flow, God can do it for you. The God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, Father God, we come around, we come to uplift, we come to heal, we come to deliver, we come to break down the stronghold of the devil. God of Abraham, the God of Jacob, right now, we come for you to touch boys, girls, men and women, we come for you to uplift and carry them to the next level. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the ancestors, and all the Godhead, the God that sit at the holy table that make decisions, God of the wind, the God of the water, God of the universe, God that control man and woman and the universe, the God of everybody, touch, heal, and deliver right now. Take that wayward mind, take that down spirit, and lift it up to the next level. I see a light at the end of the tunnel. As you go forward, good things gonna happen. Boaz blessings gonna happen. Anointing gonna happen. Trillion flow gonna happen. Money that you need, the peace that you need, the joy, glory, hallelujah, that you need. Coming quick, fast. And somebody will say, in a hurry, God bless you.
In a hurry.
Say that. God bless you. I see Dr. Kristen on the phone. She got a testimony to what her testimony is. I see her hand up. God bless. Okay. Dr. Kristen, you on? Your testimony. You know, this is time for you to testify because your testimony helps other people. When you testify what's going on with you, somebody else that's going through something, you might just say, well, it don't mean nothing. But when you pray and God answers prayer, cancer, TB, tuberculosis, some of you got cancer, you're going to die because you won't have faith. Some of you got cataracts. Some of you, the doctor, did all he can do is give you sugar pills. Sometimes you got to break away from the sugar pills and let the word of God heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. And when God heals your body, mind, soul, and spirit, things going to change. And you got to look for a change in what God will do for you, quick, fast, and early. When God do it, he's going to do it. And when God opens that door, you got to get ready and claim the door that God got for you. He's going to do it quick, fast, and in a hurry. You let him do it.
The King, I'd like to sing one of his favorites, a song that he'd always request, a song with long, strong arms. that rocked him, the cradle of eight.
Not understand where he's coming from, but he's talking about countries that have turned his back away from people being hungry. We're in a bad situation right now. It's going to take prayer. You go to the store, everything is up. Meat up. Maybe you might need to stop eating meat and begin to eat vegetables. And the light bill, the gas bill, gas, everything is up. Because wicked people is running this country. And you're saying, Bishop, why? Well, the disease has come, and we're not over with it. Now they're fighting about wearing a mask. The first lie was, get the shot, you don't need the mask. After you got the shot, now you need a mask. Now they said you get a booster. I always said, you got a booster, you're going to get a rooster. So now, what's happening? Dr. Christian was telling me they were showing a picture in China where all the people were dead. They had them all laid out there. I wanted to tell me about it, to tell the people about it. It was on the internet. And the man, the commentator, all these people died of COVID. One lady got up and walked off. So lies. Trump lied, and some people went around like, you know the truth will set you free, okay? Now, what I'm saying, you can't go back to yesterday. You got to move forward. What God wants you to do today? I pray for them that are sick and those that need to plant a seed in our ministry. Go to our website, that's the Seed Abraham, yolasite.com, and plant a seed. For your need. I don't know your need. You know your need. When you plant that seed for your need, harvest is going to come. I believe that a farmer has to plant the seed before the stuff can grow. Your harvest is coming from God. When you plant that seed and say, Lord, I need this, the harvest, I don't care what it is, your harvest coming from up on high. New eye, new liver, new lungs, new kidneys. Doctor said you need a heart. God is giving you need a liver. Whatever you need this morning, God got it. You got to reach out and get it. It's in the spirit realm. And when you give that seed, God, right now in the name of Jesus, everybody's seed. God give them what they want right now. And when you're telling me that those that see he's gonna touch your family, put your family back in order. In the name of the Father, Son, and in Jesus' name is done. Thank you. Now, what I was saying, Dr. King's letter to the American Christian that he did in July 68, or he died, it's just like he did it yesterday.
letter to American Christians. Paul's letter, American. I would like to share with you an imaginary letter from the pen of the Apostle Paul. The postmark reveals that it comes from the island of Crete. That's a notice, an opening to the letter. I discovered that it was a friend killed in Crete. At the top of the letter, it was a friend. Read to the people who may assemble themselves together and pass on to the other church. I have labored with the translation for several days. At times it has been difficult, but now I think I have its substance. And if in giving this letter, the content sounds strange, Nicinea, rather than Paulinium, attribute it to my lack of objectivity rather than Paul's lack of clarity. It is quite miraculous indeed that the Apostle Paul should be writing a letter to you and me 1900 years after last letter appeared in the New Testament. How that is possible, I do not know. I do not really care. The important thing is that I can imagine Paul speaking to us in 1956, speaking to American Christians. And here is the letter as it stands before me. I am apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God to you who are in America. Grace and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have longed to be able to come to see you. I have heard of you and what you are doing. I have heard of the fascinating and astounding advances that you have made in the scientific and the mysterious realm. I have heard of your airplanes. I have heard about the fact that through your scientific genius, you have been able to walk distance and play time and change. Yes, you have been able to carve highways through the stratosphere. So in your world, you have made it possible breakfast in London, England, and lunch in New York City. I have heard about your skyscraping building, with that tower sweeping heavenward as it surveys that peak of the lofty blue. I have heard of your great medical science and all of your advances in the medical realm. So you have been able to cure many dread plagues and diseases, thereby to prolong your life and bring about greater security and physical well-being. All of that is wonderful. You can do things now that could not be done in the Greek or Roman world of my day. You can make planets now in one day that it took me 3 months to make. That is wonderful. Has gone a long, long way in material advance. But America, I am wondering, as I look at you from afar, whether or not you have gone as far in the spirit or far with God. Seems to me, America, that although you have advanced scientifically and materially, you lag behind spiritually and morally. Your course of the road is to talk about improved means to an unimproved end. And how often that is true, you have allowed the material means by which you live to outdistance the spiritual ends for which you live. You have allowed your mentality to outrun your morality. You have allowed your Christian spirit. Yes, America, you go behind in spiritual travel and the material realm. How far have you gone in the moral realm? Your scientific things have been able to take these conversations. But through your moral and spiritual genius, you have failed to make of it a brotherhood. And what does it profit a man? As that same Lord said, that same Lord that met me on the Damascus road, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world of means, aeroplanes, subways, and all the skyscraping buildings and lose the end, the soul? So, America, I would urge you to seek to bring your spiritual advances up to your material advances. I am impelled also to write you concerning the tremendous responsibilities confronting Christians attempting to live in a sub-Christian age. Yes, I had to do that. For I had to live in an unchristian world. Every Christian has a basic responsibility to live a Christian in an unchristian world. They tell me that there are some among you, even in the churches, who give their ultimate allegiance to the patterns of the world. They want to be accepted socially. They are afraid to be ostracized, so they conform to the patterns of the world. They live by some such philosophy as this. Everybody is doing it, so it must be all right. And so often in your age, right has become merely something of taking a Gallup poll of the majority opinion. How many are living like that? How many people are giving their ultimate allegiance to this way? But America, may I say to you, as I said to the Roman church, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And may I also say to you that you have a dual citizenry. You have a twofold citizenry. You are not only a citizen of this world, but you are a citizen of another world. You live both in time and eternity, both in heaven and earth. You must come to see that although it is true that you live now in the colony of time, you must always take your orders from the empire of eternity. You must come to see that, America, that your ultimate allegiance is not to the government, not to the state, not to the nation, but your ultimate allegiance is to God, and sometimes it's necessary to speak out against the state in order to stand up for God. Oh, America, will you come to see this? But not only that, America, I have read some of your psychology. I hear you talking a great deal about maladjustment. It is the ringing cry of the child psychologist, maladjusted. And certainly nobody wants to be maladjusted. Everybody wants to be adjusted. But America, I want to call upon you, if you want to be followers of Christ, to be maladjusted. I never intend, America, to adjust myself to some things, and I hope you will never adjust to it. In an age amazingly adjusted to war, I call upon you to be maladjusted. In an age amazingly adjusted to imperialism and colonialism, I call upon you to be maladjusted. In an age amazingly adjusted to hate and malice, I call upon you to be maladjusted. My plea to you in America is to be maladjusted. I understand that you have a great economic system in America that you call capitalism. Through that economic system, you have been able to do one thing. You have been able to build up the richest nation in the world. Through that system, you have been able to build up the greatest productive system that the world has ever known. And all of that's fine. But America, that is the danger that you will misuse your capitalism. I'm not an economist, and I cannot criticize your economic system from the point of view of the economist, but I can criticize it from a moral point of view. And I still contend, America, that money can be the root of all evil. That money can lead one to live a life of gross materialism. And I'm worried that too many people in America are more concerned about making a living than making a life. Yes, America, money can lead to exploitation. So often you have done that. For they tell me that 0.1% of the population controls more than 50% of the wealth. Oh, America, how you take a necessity from the masses to give luxury to the class. Your capitalism can be used very well. You can use it to wipe poverty from the face of the earth. You can use it to lift the whole level of humanity. You can lift it to make mankind come to the point that it is destined to come to. Your wealth can be used to a noble end. You have it at your disposal. Use it for that, America. Oh, I would that I could be with you. I would that I could say to you face to face what I am trying to say to you in writing. Oh, I long to be with you. But let me rush on and say something about the church. I must say to you once more, as I have said so often before, that the church is the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there can be no division. The body of Christ, there can be no disunity. But I'm disturbed about America and what is happening there concerning the body of Christ. They tell me that in America you have within Protestantism more than 256 denominations. And the tragedy, America, is not so much that you have more than 256 denominations, but the fact that all of these denominations are warring against each other, trying to make it appear that they have the only truth. Oh, this narrow sectarianism, this narrow denominationalism, is destroying the unity of the church. America, you must come to see that God is not a Baptist, that God is not a Methodist, that God is not an Episcopalian. God is bigger than any of our denominations. You must come to see, America, that all of this is man-made. But even as I look at Roman Catholicism, I'm disturbed about that, because it stands out also with an arrogance which becomes a spiritual arrogance, making the world appear that it has the only truth, standing with its noble Pope almost taking the place of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when he speaks ex cathedra, he becomes infallible. I'm disturbed about any earthly creation that tends to claim infallibility. I'm disturbed about any church that refuses to cooperate with other churches with the pretense that it is the only true church. That is so much in the church that is destroying the body of Christ. And in the body of Christ, there can be no division and no disunity. But America, another thing disturbs me about your church. You have a Negro church, and you have a white church. Oh, America, that is quite disturbing, for that cannot exist within the true body of Christ. How did that thing ever get into being anyway? You have allowed segregation to come into the church, America. Oh, how tragic. When you stand up on Sunday morning to sing, in Christ there is no east or west. Isn't it tragic that you stand in the most segregated hour of your Christian nation? They tell me that is more integration in sports arenas and nightclubs. That is in the Christian church. Oh, how tragic that is. Out of calling that is. They tell me that there are even Christians among you who try to justify segregation on the basis of the Bible. They try to argue that the Negro is inferior by nature because of Noah's curse upon the children of Ham. Oh, my friends, all America, this is blasphemy. This is against everything that the Christian religion stands for. This is against the will of the Almighty God. In America, I would urge you, because segregation, it is a dangerous evil. It is an evil which must be wiped over the face of the earth if man is ever to come to his full maturity. America, don't compromise with it. Don't play with it. Oh, I praise your Supreme Court for passing a great decision just a year or two ago. I praise all men in your nation of goodwill who are willing to follow it. But they tell me you still have some Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Louisiana and Florida who would make their legislative calls ring loud with the words interposition and nullification. They have lost the true meaning of democracy and Christianity. And I would urge you to plead with your brothers with patience and understanding goodwill and tell them that this isn't the way. May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods and with Christian weapons. Never succumb to the temptation of becoming bitter. Never succumb to the temptation of indulging in hate. You must at all moments move with wise restraint and calm reasonableness. Keep pressing on, but press on with discipline and dignity, and use only the weapon of love, and let no man prove you the lowest to hate him. Look at your oppressor hard enough to see in him something of God's image. Yes, it might be just a spark, but if you work on him long enough, it can develop into a leaping flame. So I would say to those of you who are warring and struggling against your oppressor to use Christian methods and Christian weapons and let him know that as you struggle, you are not attempting to defeat him, not attempting to humiliate him, not attempting to get rid of him, to pay him back. Let him know that you are seeking to help him as well as yourself. Let him know that the present sort of segregation debilitates the white man as well as the Negro. Let him know that as you seek to rid the earth of this evil of segregation, you are seeking to help him also. Give that message all over the world and live by that principle and get rid of that something called segregation, America. For it is not only rationally inexplicable, but it is morally scandalous. You must get rid of it if you are to be a Christian nation. Yes, America, I realize that some of you would give your lives to this something. There would be white people of goodwill who would do it, and there would be Negroes who would struggle to get rid of it. But I want to say this to you, that as you struggle, don't despair. Realize that whenever you stand up for right and righteousness, whenever you stand up for truth, whenever you stand up for goodness, you will be persecuted, but don't despair about it. Sometimes it might mean going to jail, but if that is the case, be willing to fill up the jail, because I had to go to jail. It might even mean physical death. The physical death is the price that some have paid to free their children from a life of permanent psychological death. Then nothing could be more honorable. Don't worry about the persecutions, America. You are going to have that if you stand up for truth and goodness. Oh, that happened throughout my life. As soon as I was converted, I was denied by the disciples at Jerusalem. Then I was later tried for heresy at Jerusalem. Yes, I was beaten at Thessalonica. I was mobbed at Ephesus. I was jailed at Philippi, and I went down to Athens, and I was depressed there. Yes, I was even shipwrecked in Malta, but I'm still going. And I still believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. I still believe that in standing up for the gospel of Jesus, nothing in the world is greater. This is the end of life. This is the end of the universe. The end of the universe is not to be happy. The end is not to avoid suffering, but the end of life is to do the will of God, come what may. Oh, America, will you hear that and will you follow that before it is too late? Then I must say one other thing. You know, I said to the church at Corinth that love is the principal thing, and I want to still say that to America. America, I want you to know that you might move high in the world. You might come to the point that you are mighty eloquent in your speech. You might master the English language. All of your grammar might be perfect. You might move high. You might move with all of the eloquence of an articulate speech. But I want you to realize, America, that it is still true that even if you can speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, you are become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Yes, America, you may have the gift of prophecy so that you can understand all mysteries. You may have scientific insight so that you can break out into the storehouse of nature. Yes, America, you might have all of the mysteries and understand them so that you can remove the mountains of material obstacles. You may move all of the mountains that stand before you. But unless you have love, it means nothing. But even more, America, you may give your goods to feed the poor. You might tower high in philanthropy. You may give great gifts to the United Appeal. You may give great gifts to your colleges and universities. You may give big money. But if you have not love, it means nothing. Yes, and you may even give your body to be burned. You may even stand up and die life as a martyr. You may stand before the universe as that honorable person who was willing to stand up as a martyr. But even if you do that and you have not love, it means nothing. Yes, America, it is possible to be self-disciplined in one's self-denial and self-righteous in one's self-sacrifice. It is possible for one to be generous in order to feed his ego, and it is possible for one to be pious in order to feed his pride. So man has the tragic capacity of being able to relegate a heightening vice to a tragic, a heightening virtue to a tragic vice. Yes, even if you give your goods to feed the poor, have not love, it means nothing. You may build your all of your great institutions. You may have all knowledge. You may build your great Harvard and your great Yale. You may have all of your institutions of learning and all of your PhDs and MAs and ABs. But if you have not love, America, it means nothing. I still want you to know that love is the principal thing in the universe. I want you to know that at the center of life stands love and that it is the most durable power in the world. If you follow that, America, you will build a great nation. I must get ready to leave now. Timothy is waiting for me to deliver this letter.